SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Here we go, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM, channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid. Very busy Wednesday night. We have a lot going on, of course. There's a ton of NBA, a couple NIT games, including a Carver and Lisi favorite, the Anteaters tonight, as they have UAB coming to town. We have got some hockey games, big game for the Islanders. They can take over the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. They do have some work to do as they are scoreless with the Blackhawks, with the Canucks right now. Blackhawks are down 2-1 to the Devils in the first game of the TV doubleheader, so we have that. And we have a lot of stuff that we're going to get ready for over the next couple of days, because there is no Carver and Lisi the next two nights. You'll get all the Bracket Central coverage from Sports Grid, including Joe. Joe will be part of that as well. But we got to get you tuned up for a bunch of things. So, Mike Carver here with you. Sans Joe out on assignment. It is a Carver and sometimes Lisi night here on CNL. So that means that we bring in a big lineup tonight for a bunch of topics. We'll have Brady Cannon here in the first hour. Houston Open. We'll get the preview and the picks from him. We'll get Coach James Young in for some Sweet 16 preview as they finally get back going tomorrow night. And then in the second hour, Gentleman George Kurtz, as tomorrow is opening day in Major League Baseball, the real opening day. I know they played in Tokyo last week, but we don't count those. I know they count in the standings. The Cubs are probably upset that they count in the standings, but this is really opening day. I leave it to baseball. I mean, can you get a couple games at 1 o'clock? Like, honestly, 1 o'clock East, can you play a couple games at 1 in the afternoon? Nobody starts till 3 East, which will be the Yankees and the Brewers, and then there's like 15 games at 4 o'clock East, and barely anything at night. So quite the schedule that MLB has, but they're smarter than everybody else. All you got to do is ask them. They know it all. So we're going to get you tuned up with George, and then the second hour we'll do some futures. We'll do some stuff for Thursday. You know, at some point tonight we'll get the Taters going. I'm so happy that we have home runs back. You guys all know how much I love the home runs in baseball. Put a lot of every morning, a lot of work into building the home run card. We've already done it for tomorrow, so we'll give you some home run taters for opening day. Some really strange numbers, too. And look, you don't expect a lot of homers early in the year, right? It's cold in some places. The pitchers are usually ahead of the hitters at the start. Blah, 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 blah. But we will have some of that for you later on as well. As far as what's happening live, well, since I have the hockey open, I'll do that first. Islanders and Canucks scoreless at the horse track. They got about 5 minutes left in the first period there. Devils lead the Blackhawks 2-1 in Chicago. First game of the TV doubleheader. About 4 minutes to go in the first. So some pucks have been flying. Dallas and Edmonton will play the second game of the TV doubleheader. The Stars are a slight favorite on the road in Edmonton. And then the Bruins and the Ducks, late night at the Duck Pond. Quack, 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 later on for that. As far as the NBA goes, Wizards up 67-58 at the half on the Sixers. The Knicks, and look, I thought it was, you know, I talked to some of my Knick people this morning. I wanted to get a feel. Man, Clippers coming in, 4.5-point favorites at the Garden. Is somebody not playing? I know, obviously, we know Brunson's not playing. Somebody else not playing tonight? They're giving Cat a night off? I know the Clippers are hot. Knicks are playing on a back-to-back, but I thought the line was a little strange, seeing the Clippers that much favorite. But sure enough, they were, and the Knicks are up 13 at the end of the first quarter. 33-20, the Knicks are up. So nice job by them. Live minus 4.5, 217.5, the live total at the Garden. The Raptors are up 26-12 in Brooklyn against the Nets. They're getting towards the end of the first quarter, and they're getting almost to the end of the first in Indiana with the Lakers and the Pacers, with the Pacers up 31-25 with just under a minute to go. Now, you can bet your bottom dollar that tonight Luka's going to have some great big game because the other night in Orlando, I played him, and he did absolutely nothing. Let's see what he's... 9 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, all in the first quarter. Triple-double night for Luka. Needed it on Monday in Orlando. Didn't get it, but we'll get him. He'll give you a triple-double tonight. I'm sure of that. We have a few other guys. This Obi Toppin, I played for the threes. He's got one already. So keep feeding Obi. He's been hot with the threes. We try to stay there. Also with Josh Hart this evening for the assist. He had a triple-double last night. I didn't want to go that far. We got 4 already in the first quarter. Let's go, Josh. Filling up the stat sheet. We love to see that. And this will really, for me, because the homers are going to be back, and these nights with playing some of these dopey NBA props with Joe is gonna start to sail away for me. It's too much, the NBA. It's hard. It doesn't give me the same gas as the home runs do. So it's going to be, until the playoffs especially, playoffs at least, you get plenty of blowouts on the playoffs too, but these NBA games over the last month of the season, they are a tough haul, man. Tough haul to get through some of these regular season NBA games coming down the stretch. But we do have a couple games tonight. Later on as well, Bucks are in Denver against the Nuggets. No Giannis, no Dame time. Probably should be no problem for the Nuggets, you'd think. And the Celtics are in Phoenix against the Suns. That's the second game of the TV doubleheader there after Lakers-Pacers. -6.5 for Boston and 221.5 is the total in that one. So we will do keep you update with all the live stuff. We will get some picks for all this stuff that's going to happen the next couple days. I'm pumped for the basketball. You know, it's been tough waiting around these last few days. It was so disappointing the first 4 days of the tournament, just from a standpoint of there wasn't a lot of excitement. I mean, we did okay. Wasn't a total loss. I actually did a lot better live on those first 4 days than anything else. But I think that now with how you've had a lot of this chalk progress to these Sweet 16 games, that we're going to get some big matchups here. Now, there's some pretty big spreads here Thursday and Friday night. I'm interested to see who coach has in some of them. There's some big spreads. There's some big totals. Man, that Bama BYU number up, up, up and away, baby. I mean, I think he's pushing 180 right now. But neither team plays a lot of defense, so it's very possible that we can get there. So we'll do some picks for the Sweet 16 by the time we get out of here. We will do some MLB futures. We'll do some taters as well for Thursday. We will make sure that we get that in the hopper as well. Look, it's all exciting. These last couple of days have been rough, really just trying to get to Thursday. Get to Thursday. The baseball and the Sweet 16. Let's get to Thursday. And we're here. And don't forget the golf. Houston Open, which for the first time this year, I was talking to Stewie about this earlier on Coast to Coast. You know, I bellyache about the weather all the time. I hate when there's delays. I hate when all that stuff happens at the golf tournaments. Well, I've pretty much avoided it all of this 2025 season so far. I don't think we're going to be avoiding it in Houston over the next couple days. The weather looks really bad. Starting from like tomorrow afternoon, like all the way through late Friday, like they might really get buried here. They're playing 3 rounds. They might be one of those situations where they lose like a whole day or day and a half of being able to get out and play. So that always, you know, is a tricky situation, especially for some guys who are really just there to try to get some work in. Their final tune-ups before Augusta and other things. But we'll get into the golf with Brady when we come back as well. Carver and Lisi here on a Wednesday night. Carver sans Lisi. Big show lined up. Brady Cannon next to the Houston Open. Coach George later on. We're just getting rolling on a Wednesday night. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Marvin Lucy with you, SportsGrid. Patriot Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid. Of course, Carver Sandsley, see Joe out on assignment. And that means that we've got a big show planned for you here the next couple of hours. And we'll start things off with the golf, because let's go, baby. We're almost there. We're done with the Florida swing. We got a little Texas two-step here the next couple of weeks in Houston and San Antonio before we take everyone's favorite drive down Magnolia Lane into Augusta and the Masters. Brady Cannon with us once again here on Carver and Lisi on a Wednesday night. Hi, Brady. How are you?
You know, that green jacket has been sitting in my closet for a year. I can't wait to throw it on again. For all the appearances here on Sports Grid, everything we're going to be doing leading up to the Masters, it's going to be nothing but the green jacket, my friend. I can't wait.
There's just nothing like it, Brady. Like, there really isn't. It's just something special about that tournament. I know for us, I mean, we're in this every week. You know, every week where, you know, the Houston Opens and the Valspars and the Mexicos, but you know, you get that little extra feel, at least, you know, because then suddenly everybody cares about golf. Oh, the Masters this week. What do you like in the Masters? Do you like it? It's just such a big tournament. It's a special place. And they just lather it up. I mean, Nance today with, I'm going to go another 11 years until the 100th and all. It's just such an awesome tournament. Brady, last week, the Valspar I thought was very good. It was entertaining, but about Victor coming out of nowhere Sunday and having a huge back nine, and JT kind of once again towards the end. He should have at minimum been in a playoff with Victor. Nice job by Hovland, Brady.
Yeah, it was great to see, and really good to see them both, Mike. I was actually a little bit glad that Thomas didn't win, because boy, I would have been kicking myself, because I was looking at him. I've been saying for a couple of weeks, I'm like, and you probably have too, guy's been getting close. You know, he's putting these rounds together. What, he shoots 62 with the Players, but he's, you know, it was 62 one day and it was like 78 the next. And I'm like, God, you know, I just don't know if you know, we've talked about it before. So much about this is timing. And I said, I just don't know if the timing is right. And I'm kind of glad it wasn't, because I almost landed on him last week and it was almost correct. But then out of nowhere, Victor Hovland, who really hasn't been on the map for at least a couple of years, but great, man, for him to get back in the winner's circle. I'm happy to see it. The game is better when all these guys are firing, when JT and, you know, we're still waiting for Spieth to come around, and Hovland and Rory and Morikawa and Scotty, you know, when they're all peaking, it's just fantastic theater. And, you know, that's one of those situations, especially with last week where we had these prices get out of control because of the quote unquote bad weather draw. Well, Hovland was on the wrong side of the weather draw and still won the darn thing. But when the odds shifted, when the tee times came out, and they realized he got drew the short straw, his odds went to as high as like 80-1. Yeah. Victor Hovland at 8, you know, like, no doubt, you got to grab a little piece of that. And I'm upset that I didn't, but
I am too.
Yeah, good for him, man. And hopefully this continues and he's back in the mix and acts like Victor Hovland again going forward.
It's funny you say it, because like, we're always looking at, like, you know, future numbers for the Masters and the other majors. And right after JT shot the 62 at the Players, BetMGM, and at least in New York, was still hanging him at 28-1 for the Masters. And I thought, man, that's a good number. And it went down this week after how he played. And I did grab it at 28 with a boost up to 45. I have a good ticket. Yeah, I grabbed the JT.
Wow.
They gave
wow.
like a golf boost, which is, I guess they give it out for that weekend's tournament. But I usually end up using it on a future for one of the majors. So I have a nice JT ticket now for the Masters, so I'm hoping that this game does form very nicely for him in a few weeks at Augusta. This week,
a couple
Brady,
things. And let me just insert here real quick. I've bet on JT to win the Masters once before, and it was kind of a similar setting where he came in really playing well. He is, like I said, he's close. He is that close. Yeah. It always gets me, he can't putt the greens at Augusta. Hopefully for your sake, he can this year. There's no arguing a 45-1. That's a fantastic number.
I love playing him at majors. And you know what? He's one of those guys, like, you kind of saw it in full swing. Like, he wants to be in that room, you know, he wants to be in that dinner. Like he does. I think he's like, you know, he's jealous that he's, and I'm sure, listen, I'm sure they all are. They all want to be in that room. Oh, they all want to be
It's the most exclusive dinner in the world.
But amazing. I mean, like you can see it, him and Rory, it like seeds off of both of them that they're not in that room having dinner and they want it so bad. Now this week's weird. You know, we talked last week about how crazy that AM PM stuff was. How about having two guys, 6.5 to 1 or less with Scotty and Rory, and then basically everyone else 30 to 1 or longer. Such a big gap, Brady, in that say. That's weird to see that in a tournament on a weekly one like this.
It really is. I don't know if I've ever seen this, and you know, we probably haven't, and I was going to say since Tiger, but you know, Tiger would be 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 or even money or something like that. But there wasn't another guy necessarily. There wasn't a Mickelson or whatever that might have been, you know, 4 to 1. So I don't know if we, you know, had the gap like this, but this is really wild. I mean, the shortest guy I went with this week is 50 to 1. And I didn't go with Scotty or Rory. We know Rory's in great form. He's won twice already, just won a couple weeks ago at the Players, but he's never played this course before. And you also have to believe it's going to take a couple of good rounds and seeing himself at the top of the leaderboard before he decides he's going to go try and win this thing. I think initially he wants to just kind of stay fresh, make sure the swing is there. And you know, even if he misses the cut, I think he's fine. He's going to roll into, you know, Augusta, maybe play a couple of extra practice rounds. And then Scotty, you know, it's not like he's in a slump. He's finishing top 20 instead of top 5 and winning. But I don't know if the timing is right for him.
He's not, like you say, he's not in a slump, but he's also not the superhuman we saw the last 2 years.
Right.
Like he hasn't had that extra gear where he's just run away and hiding from everybody. So look, Brady, you know, if either of them are close on Saturday night, they're going to try to win it, but
yes,
I don't know how invested they are on Thursday with winning this golf tournament. Brady Cannon will get all his picks for the Houston Open next. Carver and Lisi on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Barbara and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you. Brady Cannon is with us as we get ready for the Houston Open. We're going to get Brady's picks right now. Now, Brady, last week we talked about weather and AM, PM, and all that. I was saying before you came on, like, there's like a legit, like, they're going to have a problem there, I think, from like the middle of the day tomorrow until maybe even like the middle of the day Friday. Like, they got some heavy rains and storms going through Houston. So I think we will get our weather problems this week as opposed to last week.
Right. And I think it's going to be throughout the day. You know, I don't think there's going to necessarily be a draw bias. And I think we'll probably, I think there's a really good chance, Mike, we'll have a delay. And that kind of throws everything off too, you know. So I don't know if an eventual disadvantage to one side or the other of the draw is going to develop. I certainly hope not. And it really didn't last week. I mean, a guy that was on the quote unquote bad side won the whole darn thing. So I hate to see that disadvantage for half the field. And I don't think it's going to develop this week, but I do. You're right. I think we're absolutely in store for some rain.
It just hurts you, Brady, if you're alive better. And we'll get Brady back because once again, I think that probably Coach got Brady for the second week in a row. So we will just we'll get Brady back in here in a moment. And he is right. I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference whether you're in the morning or the afternoon, because there's a good chance like a lot of people don't play tomorrow. I think that most guys might be playing their first round on Friday with the way that things are going to be going. So that's kind of how things are going to work. And we'll get Brady back in a moment, and we'll get all of his picks for the Houston Open here. And one thing I do have with Brady this week is I have a lot of his, a lot of my first round leader guys. The same with Brady, so we will we'll see what he's got, because like he said, he's starting in the 50s for him, and then I've got a bunch of first round guys that probably won't tee off until Friday at this rate for it. So we'll see how it goes with them. Lakers were down a couple, and now they're up 10 in like the blink of an eye. The Lakers did. They went from down 5 to start at this corner to now up 10. Brady's back with us. So Brady, I was just saying, I'm with you. I think Coach might have got you 2 weeks in a row. You know, it's Coach just. Coach don't pay attention. You know, you tell him to wait until 31. He tries logging in early anyway. Lay it down for me, Brady. Like I said, I got a bunch of your guys in some placements and first round leaders. Who are you going with?
Okay. Like I say, I started at 50.
All right. Well, there you go. We got all kinds of problems with Brady. Oh, boy. So here's who Brady's got, since I'm probably going to have to now. Lay it down for him with all the technical difficulties that we are having. Mav McNeely at 50-1 for Brady, which I actually like. Brady, go ahead. I've sent the missive that if you do it again, he can't come on, and that you have to stay then. Go ahead, Brady.
McNeely and Dietrich have both played very well here in the past. Dietrich runner-up last year, got them at 50. Alex Smalley at 60, playing the best golf of his career, doing really, really well. Played well down the stretch at the Players, multiple top 25 finishes this season already. Keith Mitchell, you know, he can drive the ball like anybody in the world, and that's what it's going to take at this golf course this week. Got him at 66. I've seen higher. Harris English, I know you're on him for a placement market. We had him earlier at Torrey Pines. That tells me he can handle a big, long golf course like this. I took him at 80. Nick Taylor at 90. Now, he's not a long hitter. We've seen really the Bombers dominate at this course, but Taylor, not long, deadly accurate, and a great ball striker, and I think that'll be just fine here for him this week. I think he can do well. And then triple digits, 100-1 with Nikolai Højgaard, who is a great long iron player, been really good on approach this season, and one of the best players in the field on approach shots of 200 yards or better, and you're going to have a lot of those this week.
I'm definitely, Brady, at the minimum, going to be going with you on McNeely. Like, you've been chasing him down, and I think it's coming for him again. You know, he won in the fall, but he's played well enough here that I think he's going to win. Maybe not one of the bigger tournaments, signatures, etc., but I think he can win one of these Houston Opens, etc. One of these. I think that it's coming from McNeely at some point.
He was that runner-up at Torrey Pines, missed the cut at Bay Hill and the Players. Yep. I think he's ready to reset again.
Brady, let's cash some winners this week. Next week, we're in San Antonio, and we've got Liv in
let's
Miami
do it.
With Corral. Brady Cannon with us. We're back after
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Marvin Lucci with you, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you aboard here with us. Of course, as we mentioned, Carver sans Lucci tonight. Joe out on assignment. So we have a lot of things going on, a lot of things to look forward to over the next couple days. We did the golf with Brady. Now let's focus on the Sweet 16, the NCAA tournament, which will get back going tomorrow night. You've got the East in Newark at the Rock. You've got the West out at the Chase in Cali at San Francisco. And then, of course, Friday night in Atlanta and at Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. So should be good games, and Coach James Young joins us to preview all of it. Now, Coach, look, the game sucked last weekend. Like, it is what it is. Like, you didn't have that normal March Madness, this is crazy, you know, all the finishes and the close games and the upsets and all the stuff that people, you know, signature with this tournament. You did not get over the first 4 days. Yes, you had the Maryland-Colorado State on Sunday. That was a great finish. And, you know, you had McNeese getting a win. But all in all, Coach, it was subpar to what people are used to and what they expect for this. But one thing, Coach, that you can get out of that when you have such a chalky first 4 days of the tournament is you end up with heavyweight, box office, billboard matchups in the Sweet 16, and that's precisely what we're going to get now here, Coach, over the next couple nights.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, if you really look at it, if the let's put it this way, if we continue to chalk and we get all the higher seeds to go through, top eight on KenPom would all make the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
That's wild. You know, and I think, listen, the transfer portal and the NIL has stripped the glory out of some of these teams, right? We're not going to get, you know, remember, I don't think we got anything 13 on an upset this year, right? It was very chalky. And if you look.
You had the 12s with McNeese and Colorado State. That was it.
Right. And if you look at it, like Nico Medic, great job, obviously, going to Minnesota. You know, obviously, this is a two-year run with Will Wade. We'll see how many of those guys go to NC State. And even the 11 seed, like in Drake, like this coach took his kids with him. And they're going to, you know, and obviously Sturts, the point guard, is probably going to follow McCollum to Iowa. So this is where we're at now, Mike, where you're just not going to get a lot of these upsets as much as often. Because what happens is even if you're good for a year, Mike, you're getting stripped of your kids. Like it's happening. I'm right here in Monmouth County. You know, one of my good friends is you know, obviously King Rice, the head men's coach of Monmouth. He's got a kid, Bashir, that made 117 threes. He was saying out in public from December, please don't call him. Please wait till the season ends. Please. Bashir's going to go get $500,000, right? So this is what we have. We have the minor leagues now, which sucks for the beginning of the tournament, but then I think it starts to pick up tomorrow night.
And it is going to pick up, Coach. Business will pick up with these matchups. There's no question about it. Now, look, I also, just one more big picture thing here. I don't think that this is so easy like some people do, that it's going to be all the ones and twos, or it's going to be all the ones in San Antonio next week. It's not. I know it happened once. It was 2007. That's the only time that we had all four ones make it to the end, which was also in San Antonio, by the way, which is kind of strange. But still, I don't see it, Coach, because when you see there's going to be someone this week that nobody expected. There's somebody in those bottom five or six of this 16 that's going to win a couple games this weekend. I think it could be Ole Miss. Maybe it's Kentucky. Maybe it's, you know, who knows who it is. But someone, Coach, is going to bust that bubble. Despite how chalky the tournament's been, someone's going to come out of it and say, hey, look, we're here, even though nobody thought we'd be here a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's put it this way. If we're lining up...
It won't be against It won't be the East.
I mean, I think they're going to make it out of the Midwest. I mean, and that's Houston. But what a terrible job by the NCAA, giving them the one seed, putting them in the Midwest, awful, and then putting Purdue at the four. And listen, I'm not saying they did it on purpose, but you put Purdue an hour from campus, you're playing at Lucas Oil Stadium. Like, you need to fill seats. Well, how do you fill seats? You put a team that's pretty close to there, which kind of lines itself up. But when you really slice or dice it, you mentioned Ole Miss. And I think people forget how good of a coach Chris Beard is. Take away his transgressions off the court. You know it, I know it. The guy's one of the top 10 coaches in college basketball. What he's done at Ole Miss is tremendous. And I look at that bracket. I am still not convinced about Auburn. I do think if the guards of Maryland could be under control, I think they're better inside with Queen and Reese than Condon and the rest of the bigs of Florida. It's about can the guards match up and can Kevin Willard not blow games. By the way, shout out to Kevin Willard. This guy is going to get probably $5 million a year. He's got an offer for $5 million a year on the table at Maryland. He can go to Villanova right now and get the same amount of money, right? But this guy literally almost lost his team the game because he double-teamed up two and gave up a wide-open three, which is the cardinal sin end of game. But Ole Miss, I think they beat Michigan State. I think they're playing. I don't like the way Michigan State's playing, like in spots. And I think Auburn, I'm sorry, you know, it's all about Florida with Maryland, but I think Auburn could be in trouble because I think the bigs of Golden and Wolf can neutralize Jahni Brewer. So I think Auburn is the 1-1 seed. If you tell me, give me 1-1 seed, it's not going to make it, I don't think it's Auburn.
I think it's the one region, coach, where you can make a case for all four teams.
Yeah,
getting to the Final Four. It's the only region where all four can make it. I can't really do that in every region because, I mean, I don't think Purdue can get out of that region. I don't think that Maryland can get out of their region. I don't think that anyone can get past Duke in the other region. So I really, truly believe that Atlanta South region, you could tell me any of the four are playing in San Antonio, and I would believe you off of how things go. And especially Chris Beard. I mean, coach, that dude's an animal, man. Oh. He is. He's a hell of a coach. Like you said, we understand other things outside why he lost the job at Texas, et cetera. But he can coach.
Speaking of Texas, like, think about, like, he gets let go, right? Rodney Terry takes over and leads the team to the Elite Eight with Chris Beard's kids. And he's fired within 2 years. Like, that just tells you how good that, what that tells you, Mike, is that Rodney Terry didn't change a damn thing that Chris Beard was doing. He probably kept all the offense, kept all the defense, and just ran the ship. And as soon as the season ended, he went on his own way, and he got fired within 2 years.
Unbelievable. And now Miller goes back. Man, Miller goes twice now. I love Xavier in a dust. See you later, guys.
Mike, here's the thing that's crazy. Don't blame him. But how can this guy who was behind all this junk in Arizona get two jobs? But my guy, Buck Richardson, who's the assistant, can't get a job still. Listen, you know this, Mike. When you're the head coach, you know everything that goes on in your program because everything's got to go through you.
It's amazing. A lot of coach moving. Patino versus Patino now in the Big East. Your boy Fran got the job at Penn.
My guy Fran.
He'll be there. So lots of movement. The North Texas guy is going to go to West Virginia, right? He's going to get that after the NIT. Carver Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We'll come back. Coach will give us the picks for the week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you on the grid. Coach Young is with us as we get ready for the Sweet 16 starting tomorrow night, and Coach will be part of the action here on Sports Grid Bracket Central. I believe, watch this, I'm going to try this and see it. Coach is Thursday night, 7 o'clock East, and for the duration, right, Coach? You're in the duration of both games. So you'll have the East games and the West games, 4 games for Coach. I believe he's with Ben. That's your Thursday night Bracket Central. And then you get our boy Joe with KW on Friday night. As they will have you for the same thing. So no Carver and Lisi next 2 nights. You get Bracket Central for you, and you get Coach. Yes.
And really quick, the reason being, we switch around the schedule just so people know, the games are in Newark, so we can't do the show out of Jersey because
you can't bet on the games.
So that's why Ben and I are going to be out of New York City on Friday, on Thursday, and we'll have you till 1 in the morning. That's going to be a rough
I'm glad we can all bet on this stuff now, Coach, but honestly, like, there's still some rules that we got to fix. Like, you can't – who cares if the game's in the state of Jersey?
Jersey's the only state in the country that it doesn't matter who it is. If it's in the state of New Jersey, you can't play. Usually Jersey is like – most states are like if it's Rutgers or Seton Hall.
Well, right. Like in New York, you can't play St. John's and Syracuse and all that. You know, in New Jersey, you can't play Seton Hall and Monmouth and all that. But – if the game is physically taking place in a state, you can't bet on it there, which is just a nonsense rule, one of the many that still has to be flushed away. All right, Coach, let's go. Thursday night, we'll do the East first since it's in Newark. You've got Alabama -5.5 against BYU with a monstrous total, 175.5, and then in the night game, Duke laying 9.5 against Arizona. Normally I would say 153.5 is a monstrous total, but when you compare it to 175.5, It isn't that monstrous. A lot of points.
Well, let's start with the first game. People are going to think I'm crazy. Mike, I'm taking the over. If you look at the pace, and if you look at the games in which they play against high octane offenses, right? For BYU, 91-89, the win over Wisconsin. You look at 88-85 versus Iowa State, who's pretty decent defensively. Arizona State doesn't play a lick of defense, 91-81. Arizona, 96-95. I'll throw away the Kansas game, 91-57, because Kansas didn't show up. Then you go to Alabama, and you take away, like, the Tennessees, right? The teams that can get up and down and run. Mike,
yeah.
I think it's going over. I mean, think about it. They've scored 80, 90, 93, 94 in a loss. Throw away Tennessee, 111, 96, 98, 85, 103 in their last 10 games. That game's going to go up and down all day.
When they make it that high, Coach, they can't make it high enough, to be quite honest. They can't make it high enough. Like they, so I'm with you. I think it's over. I think the problem for BYU is that, you know, Alabama loves playing this way. And mm-hmm. when you talk about the game, like that's where a game that's just going to be a free-for-all with no defense, like that's right up Alabama's alley. And I think what hurts BYU the most here, Coach, is this Alabama team and a lot of the guys who are still on it, they've now been here the last couple of years. These lights are not going to be too bright for the Crimson Tide, for Sears, for Ed Nelson, all these guys. The lights aren't going to be too bright, whereas BYU hasn't been in this spot before, and they're going to try to play run and gun with Alabama. I don't think it's going to go well for them, but it'll still go over.
No, no, I think it goes over. You're right. I think if you look at the ability, if he's healthy, he was a little banged up last game. Cliff Omori is a little bit of a difference maker, the transfer from Rutgers, because he's a big that can protect. He's a lob threat. You saw them play. I forget who it was. St. Mary's, not St. Mary's. First game, he got like five lob dunks right away against Robert Morris, because you have to worry about the guards. So I do think the game goes up and down, but you're right. The difference in the game is I just think Alabama is more willing to play like that. Think about this. Alabama's defense, 17th in average possession length on defense. BYU's 302nd. Alabama's want to go up and down. BYU wants to score, but slow you down. They won't be able to do so.
Can't do it. Do you give Arizona any shot with 9.5 against Duke?
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
No shot.
Now that Cooper, I think, looks good, and let's be honest, this guy continues to deliver. He comes off of this injury, we're like, oh, guy's going to be rusty. Absolutely not. I know he got 14 points, but he barely played. He does everything for them, and I think the big thing is John Shire announced today that Brown, who's the other defensive stop, who's done a really good job, is most likely is going to play. Game time decision, I think he plays. That's another defender for them, and I think they're going to put Caleb Love in absolute jail tomorrow night.
Well, that would certainly be the way to do it, because Love's played really well recently, and he's played well, obviously, against Duke in his career. So that's the guy that you want to be able to slow down. West, in San Francisco, Florida -6.5 against Maryland, 156.5, and Arkansas, the only double-digit seed that we have here still alive, getting 5.5 against Texas Tech with a 148.5.
Well, I said it last segment. It's going to come down to the guard play, right? Can the guards of Maryland keep this close? Because you look on the bigs, and I think, to me, Maryland has the advantage. It's on the other side where I think Florida has the advantage. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Walter Clayton basically said that he almost went with Pitino to St. John's, like, oh, my God. Like, if they would have had him, RJ Lewis, and Kadari, well, they still can't make a jump shot anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It would have been nice if someone – they would have had someone who maybe could score.
Maybe. But I do like Florida minus a point, and I want people to understand this. Can we stop with, no Cinderella story here with Calipari. They were supposed to be here. But McCaslin's a better coach, and Texas Tech can beat you either way, Carver, offensively or defensively. We'll see if the stud who's going to be game time decision plays. I like them minus the points.
I like that over too, Coach. I actually think it's going to be a faster pace, and I think Texas Tech's going to win. And I think that Maryland is going to get absolutely smashed in that game. I think Florida. I think that's the one game that could be smashed city over the next two nights. All right, Coach is going to finish out the hour with us and tell us what he likes on Friday night. Coach James Young with us, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Marvin and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you on the grid. Coach James Young is with us, Sweet 16. All right, Coach, Friday night, Atlanta. You will have Ole Miss and Michigan State, -3.5 for Sparty, 142.5. Michigan getting 9.5 from Auburn, 153.5 the total.
Yeah, listen, I told you that this is where I think things get interesting. I like the way Ole Miss is playing. I think this is one of these guys, Chris Beard, that I think won't be scared of going against a guy like Tom Izzo. So I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take the 3.5 Carver High, and I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line. And I think Michigan's going to keep this game close. If Golden and Wolf can stay out of foul trouble, they pose size problems for Jahni Broome. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Michigan plus the points. Ole Miss plus a point, sprinkle on a money line.
There you go. How about that? Yeah, I think Ole Miss. I picked Michigan State to get to the Final Four, so it's like I have it, but I got a feeling that Ole Miss has a little something cooking right now, Coach. I really do. And I think the 9.5 is way too much for Auburn. But as they show, you know, that could be like the Creighton game where it's close for a while and then they just lean on them in that second half. And things get sticky for them. And then, of course, we have Indianapolis at Lucas Oil. And I do agree with you. You mentioned it before. It's nonsense that Houston has to play. Really, three teams. I know Purdue more egregious because of how close they are. But even Kentucky and Tennessee are a hell of a lot closer to Lucas Oil than Houston is. It doesn't make sense sometimes, this stuff. Now, Kentucky beat Tennessee twice during the regular season in the SEC. They're catching 4.5 with a 144.5, and Houston's laying 7.5 against Purdue with a 132.5 total.
All right, Carver High, you know how I roll. I do this all the time when I come on with you and Pharrell. If a team wins two games in a row in the regular season and they play again in the playoffs, I take the other side, which is crazy. Because Kentucky's getting points, but they won both matchups. I'm going with Tennessee -4.5. I don't think Rick Barnes makes it all the way to the Final Four, but I think Rick Barnes gets to the Elite Eight. That guard backcourt of Lanier and Ziegler will do enough against Kentucky. Give me Tennessee -4.5. And I'm going to do something that's going to throw maybe the big curveball of the night here. I'm going to take Houston. But I'm going to take their total points over 70.5. I think that they could score. Purdue defensively is awful. Awful. I like them to go over 70.5 because I think they have the guard play. And then I'm going to throw in a little nugget here. I'm going to take Juwan Roberts over 11.5 points. If you've watched Purdue the last couple of games, Kaufman Wren can find himself in foul trouble. Juwan Roberts, last game, right, Mike? 18-8. He's kind of like the junkyard dog of that team. He doesn't get a lot of credit. I think this will be one of his moments. Juwan Roberts over 11.5 points. I think it's maybe to 15. I like Houston to go over 70.5 points. And then I'm going to lay the -4.5 for the Vols versus Kentucky.
You're going to lay it, huh? I cannot trust this guy Barnes, Coach. I'm never going to do it. 40 years coaching, and this guy's never made a Final Four. 40 years, Coach. Sorry, I can't do it. I think Kentucky's going to beat Tennessee on Friday night. Straight up, I'm going with Kentucky.
Mike, it's possible because you're right. Like, this guy chokes more than anybody. I mean, he chokes. He hasn't been to a Final Four. At least everybody's been to one, at least one few. Obviously, Calvin Sampson, all these guys have been a Final Four, not this guy.
Chokes. It's amazing. It really is. Coach, last thing before you go. It sounds like Houston, Duke, and it probably bothers you that they're on the same side of the bracket, so they're going to play in the semis. And then who's on the other side for you? Who is it right now on the
Duke,
other side?
Ready? Houston, Duke, Ole Miss, Texas Tech. I don't think Auburn nor Florida get there.
Wow. How about that? Coach James Young, I'm with you. I think that the ones on the other side don't get in either. I'm going to go Texas Tech and Michigan State, but I wouldn't mind if it's Ole Miss either, Coach, if you know what I mean, with a little add-on this week. Coach James Young, catch him tomorrow night with Ben here for Bracket Central as they get to do all the Thursday night's games. Hour 2, Carver and Lee next.